Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I am the host of this program. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we've been broadcasting from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado for 9 to 10 years, and now here we are into our 10th year. Dave Buhner also in studio with me, another homeschooling dad, and just trying to find a light switch on the side of the wall here, friends, as we're trying to recover things like fatherhood, family, freedom, faith, you know, generational continuity, where kids actually take on their parents' values, their faith, and pass it on to the next generation. I know that's almost gone in the age of teenage rebellion, in the age where, well, the hearts of the fathers have severed from the sons and sons from the fathers, big time. And here's an article, and it's not just me saying this kind of stuff. I know we are the whacked out right-wing fanatics from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. But the Washington Times agrees with us, which is kind of nice. Washington Times, maybe not as concerned as we are, but they're still noting the fact that fathers disappear from households across America. Okay, that's Washington Times this morning. Nicole Hawkins' three daughters have matching glittery boots, but none of them have the same father. Each has uniquely colored ties in her hair, but none has a dad present in her life. Okay, so that's the way it goes. As another single mother on Sumner Road decked her row house stoop with Christmas lights and a plastic Santa, Ms. Hawkins recalled that her middle child's father had never spent a holiday or birthday with her. In her neighborhood in Southeast Washington, D.C., 1 in 10 children live with their parents. Wow. That's 90% fatherlessness.
That's frightening. And the other frightening thing is that one who does live with their parents, he's like 28 years old.
Yeah, exactly. And anyway, friends, 90%. 90% of kids in Washington, D.C. living without both parents. In every state, the portion of families where children have two parents rather than one has dropped significantly over the past decade. So, Dave, I was thinking that we had the big problem over a period of 40 years. What they're saying is right now we're falling off the cliff. Well, not just the fiscal cliff, the family cliff.
The father cliff, yeah.
I don't think we've been talking about the father cliff or the family cliff. My guess is this is like, my dad found this. If my dad found this, he was probably looking through hundreds and hundreds of articles and found this one. Meantime, everybody's talking about the fiscal cliff right now, but this is the father cliff or the family cliff, and we have fallen off the cliff in the last decade, according to this. Everything's coming apart in the last decade. That's what's happening right now. It's the millennial generation, and I wonder what it's going to look like in the next 30 years when these kids grow up. And have their own something, whatever they have. I don't know what they're going to have. What are they going to have? What do people have? What do 90% of kids growing up in Washington, D.C. have in 30 years from now, Dave? Here's what they have. They have nothing. Okay, and unless repentance. I suppose they could go to church and repent and learn how to be fathers and mothers. Well, that's an option. That's always an option.
It is an option. Of course, right now we've defined deviancy to be the norm. Yeah. And I got a story right here.
Well, here's what happens. What happens is they get hired onto social services departments around America, and then they prosecute normal families.
That's a lot of social service.
That's a lot of social service people. That's scary. They just need to go to college and get a degree and then go out and persecute the minority, which would be, you know, nuclear families.
Right. Well, here's a story. I know I didn't talk about this in our show prep, but here's a story. Somebody's going to know who their father is. There's this guy in Kansas. Apparently, he donated some sperm through Craigslist.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And these lesbians bought the sperm,
oh,
and then
boy.
They sued him for child support.
Yep, the chickens came home to roost on that one. And he's going to court, and he's going to say it's going to spend a lot of money. You know what? That's going to discourage sperm donors in the future, Dave.
At least on Craigslist.
On Craigslist, yeah. Because apparently, you donate a sperm, you're probably going to be responsible for where that child conceived. That's what the courts are saying in Kansas.
Which is weird, because in these cities, they don't even know who the father is, and apparently the government's responsible for the children.
Yeah, well, they can track them with sperm donors. So, you know, it probably would have been easier to do it the other way, and the way they do it in Washington, D.C.
Well, I guess Craigslist, be careful. Yeah. Always be careful on Craigslist.
Okay. And Dave, I mean, it's ironic how this postmodern weirdness is turning on itself. I think that's the moral we get out of this Kansas story. Oh, man. I mean, Dave, I mean, these people are trying all kinds of weird things, and, you know, it's not going to work out for them.
No, it rarely does. What will these kids be saying 30 years from now when somebody talks about the founding fathers, and they're going to go, father, What's a father?
What would a father be?
Are these the founding sperm donors? Are these the founding payers? What are these?
Here's the kicker, Dave, and this is where it really hurts. How in the world are they ever going to get to know their Heavenly Father? And Dave, as you know, so many people have a hard time really understanding what fatherhood is all about because they just have grown up in dysfunctional situations. And I hope that over time, we as Christians will be able to build Christian families and halfway decent father-daughter, father-son relationships such that in the future, our children will understand something of what it would be like to have a relationship with a father and certainly the Heavenly Father.
Well, it does make it difficult. It does make it very difficult when you start talking about God as a father, when people have either had no father experience or bad father experience. And that would seem to mean that the Heavenly Father is the one who will abandon them, the one who will spend one night with mom and you know, run away. And that isn't really the picture of faithfulness, and it isn't the picture of holiness, and it isn't the picture of a God who provides and protects. And yet that's what father was meant to encompass.
As it turns out, my friends, the breakdown of family also means the breakdown of faith and the breakdown of freedom, because you're not going to have a free nation where you have a nation that can't self-govern itself and you have very, very little family life and fatherhood left in a nation. Of course, you're going to turn everything over to powerful socialist governments that will provide for the welfare of those who have no idea how to be taken care of by a husband or a father. And we're seeing a breakdown of our entire socialist systems, I think, right now. Now, for the time being, socialism will try to salvage some of this. But, Dave, it's a push-pull thing. I think socialism is really adding to the problem. You think about where things were before the Great Society, and you had still, you know, in the inner cities, probably between 15 and 20% of kids born without fathers. Now it's upwards of 75 to 90% after the Great Society, after all the welfare programs, after all the food stamps programs, after government stepped in and started all its social services programs, which is supposed to fix everything. After all of that, all of the government programs, which was supposed to fix the family problem in America and address the social issues, you have even more problems in the breakdown of the nuclear family. I can't imagine, I can't think of another time in human history, my friends, when you had this level of devastation in any kind of community. And again, friends, it's not just the inner city. It's pretty much everybody has been affected somewhat, where the father is more disconnected than ever before from the average family in America. You have less father engagement. You have more divorce. You have more shackups. You have more kids born out of wedlock. You have, and that just continues on and on and on. You think the problem is just the inner cities? You think it's just the minorities? Friends, I mean, we have a 3x increase of the incidence of kids born out of wedlock among the inner city minorities. Among whites, the increase is somewhere between 7 and 10 times what it was back in 1960. So, friends, things are bad all around. And a lot of it is due to the fact that government stepped in and said, hey, we will provide welfare. We'll provide Social Security. We'll provide food stamps. We will provide government public school programs to take care of your children through large portions of the day so that mom will not have to take care of the kids, so that dad will not have to take care of the kids, and the kids will be babysat by government systems while dad gets his job, while mom gets her job, and then we'll fragment the family in over 5, 6, 7 generations. You wind up with even less family relationships and less input from mom and dad into the average person's life in this country. And friends, that problem is going to metastasize in the generations to come unless somebody says, mom's going to raise the kids. We're going to homeschool. Dad's going to get involved. We're going to start building family economies. We're going to start doing some things. We're going to, over the next 2 to 3 generations, this doesn't happen overnight, but over the next 2 to 3 generations, our family is going to find a better way to build a family and to restore fatherhood and father-child relationships in the 21st century. That's got to happen, my friends. That's got to happen. Because I can't think of another time in history where we have seen fatherhood made obsolete by government-funded welfare programs. I mean, Dave, can you think of another time? 1700s in America, would government welfare programs displace the family? I can't think of anything, any program in the 1700s. I can't think of a program in the 1600s. I can't think of the 1400s where governments were stepping in and said, hey, we'll displace the family. We'll make the family obsolete. Who needs fathers? I can't think of another time in all of human history. I can't even think of a time in the Roman Empire where they had systems, public school systems, government-funded programs, education programs, welfare programs, food stamps programs. I can't think of another time in human history where the father has been displaced by government officials and social services programs, as it has happened in the last 30 years. Dave, I can't think of another time in all human history where this has happened.
Even the only thing in American history that seems to come close was the devastation of fathers after the Civil War. Yeah. They were dying on both sides. Yeah. Ironically, what the Civil War accomplished is the state becoming the father. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't have happened without what happened, what was gained by the Civil War, lost by the Civil War. What we have now is a government that does not believe in basic laws of nature, especially economic laws. An economic law here, what you fund, you get more of. What you punish, you get less of. So if you fund fatherlessness, even if you do it in the name of benevolence, even if you do it in the name of compassion for those who have lost their fathers, you end up getting more of that. And that's exactly what's happening. We are funding people to abandon their wives and the mothers of their children. We're saying we will take care of the mothers and children if you'll just get out of the way, dads. And dads are leaving, and they're leaving in droves. And the misandry, we heard the word misogyny, which is kind of a hatred towards women. We ought to be talking about misandry, which is a hatred of men. Because in a divorce, in the catastrophe of divorce, a man and a woman go to court. Who gets awarded the children 95, 98, 99% of the time?
It's the women.
It's the women.
Sure.
And what does the man have to do?
And wild guess here. Wild guess. From a biblical perspective, how often do you think the fault, I mean the major fault, now granted sometimes it's 50-50, but how many times do you think the woman committed adultery versus the man, or the woman abandoned the home versus the man? My guess is it's probably around 50-50, Dave. Be honest with you. I have a feeling that, and as far as biblical definitions are concerned, and legitimate divorce typically happens when there has been a abandonment / adultery on the part of the guilty party. And my guess is the courts do not rule in the favor of the innocent party as defined by biblical law. I mean,
no.
I'm guessing they don't do that.
No, they don't even seek it.
I'm guessing that their focus is to rip the father out of that home and out of the life of that child, and to destroy fatherhood, because who needs fatherhood in a feminist, egalitarian worldview that pretty much dominates every one of our institutions today? Who needs fathers? Now, you know what, Dave? What's going to happen is that in about 50 years from now, someone's going to say, I think we probably needed fathers. But that's going to happen after the destruction of the civilization. That doesn't mean that all of us have to follow this track, though. And we always give people the option out. You can opt out. You don't have to be a part of this, friends. You can opt out. You can get out of the system. You say, hey, we're not going to play that game anymore. We're going to actually have a good marriage. Actually, you know what? If you're a young person right now, you can say, I'm not going to have a child out of wedlock. Not going to fornicate outside of wedlock. You can say that. See, somebody can opt out. They can say, you know what? I'm going to follow God on this one. God knows what he's talking about in his word. He has laid out his laws, and we are to confine sexuality within marriage. There's people out there, Dave, I think that can say, I'm going to opt out. I'm not going to do what the rest of the world is doing. And I'm not going to be part of the 95% of Americans that confess their premarital sex on the day they get married. I'm just not going to be part of the 95%. I'm going to be pure on this one. I'm going to go all the way to the altar without fornication. And we're going to get married, going to have 2 children, and we're going to stay married, and we're going to get divorced. We're going to stay with it for till death do we part. Dave, I'm guessing there are some people out there doing that.
I think there's people are pro-choice here. They're choosing to be pure.
Yeah, and moreover, they're also saying, you know what? Not going to just throw out my kids to the welfare institute or some social organization or some public school that's going to babysit my kids for 40, 60, 70 hours per week while we go out to work and try to pay our taxes. No, we're actually not going to do that. We're actually going to raise our own children, build our own family economies, and we're going to disciple our own children within our homes and mentor them into their own calling as God has provided that calling for them. Okay, so there's some families out there who are not playing the games. And friend, that is going to create, I think, some wonderful islands of relational discipleship, wonderful islands of freedom, wonderful islands of strong, nurturing family life. And that's happening right now as people get a vision. And it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. Will a father get a vision for something different than what he has learned from the last 5 generations of American social systems? Okay, my friends, be back in just a moment with more news. And we're going to apply the biblical approach to these news stories in just a moment.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Back on the Generations broadcast, my name is Kevin Swanson, talking about two forms of socialism, two forms of tyranny. There's the kind of tyranny that the communists used through their gulags and Hitler uses through his means of oppressing hundreds of millions of people and destroying 6 million Jews. And there was a form of tyranny that comes down by whacking you on the back of the head with a big old club. Then there's the kind of tyranny that takes you to hell in a coffin, not of thorns, but of velvet. And that's the kind of tyranny we're dealing with here in America. It tends to be socialistic. It tends to be the nanny state. And it tends to want to limit the number of ounces you drink of Diet Coke in the city of New York City. And it's also the kind of tyranny that thinks that everything's hunky-dory. As we develop social services systems and foster care systems, and then on the other hand, we head off into the public schools to teach everybody about relativism, ethical relativism, and how to get a condom on straight and safe sex and all that. So you spend all your money just explaining to kids all about safe sex, and then you spend all the rest of your money trying to help those kids that were born out of wedlock and trying to somehow keep some kind of a social system together while you destroyed it in the public schools. And Dave, I think this is what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a kind of tyranny that is not exactly the communist tyranny, but certainly involves a huge amount of government in our lives. And we're already seeing what 60 to 70% of Americans are getting their paycheck or their welfare check from the government. So you're looking at a government that's getting involved in our lives, but it's not exactly what we had with the communists.
Not exactly. The government's usurping the role of the father, as we've said. Look, there's this quote from C.S. Lewis, and it's a great quote.
Okay, now C.S. Lewis is the guy who wrote the Narnia tales and a Christian writer from back in the early part of the 1900s.
Yeah, wrote the Screwtape letters and some other things, and where he dealt with evil. He says, of all the tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely expressed for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive.
Oh, so, boy.
I mean, he's nailing it. This is somebody who loves us and cares about us and really wants to do good for us by tyrannizing us.
It would be
better to live under robber barons than under the omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience.
Yeah. That's sharp. And Dave, you know, isn't that pretty much what the Democrats do and the Republicans and the socialists?
Yes.
And those that are bringing socialist medicine and trying to make sure that everybody gets it. And of course, those who support the public schools. I mean, think about an election in the past 10 years where the American public did not approve some kind of an increase in taxes for schools, for public schools. It's hard to think of one. I mean, Americans are out there doing everything they possibly can to increase the socialist involvement of government into the lives of kids.
But they do it because they love you, Kevin.
Oh, I know. It's for the kids. The reason you can't buy
a 75-watt incandescent light bulb from in 2013 is because they love you. Don't you understand? A 75-watt light bulb would be bad for you.
They love me so much.
That's why you can't buy a toilet that flushes the first time.
Yeah.
Because they love you.
Okay. All right, friends. It's the modern socialist governments that consume us, and it's the governments that we've elected as well. But here's the thing to look forward to, and this article comes from Germany. Turns out, friends, Germany is putting its retirees offshore. And here's the article, godfatherpolitics.com. It has been a recurring complaint that businesses and corporations are leaving the country and looking for places where labor is cheaper and the dollar stretches further. This is natural behavior. But what happens when public and private groups begin the same process with the old folks? This has already begun for Germans to become a custom before anyone noticed it has happened. Thus, the Daily Mail. German pensioners are being sent to care homes in Eastern Europe and Asia. What has been described as an inhumane deportation. Rising numbers of the elderly and sick are moved overseas for long-term care because of the sky-high costs at home. Some private health care providers are even building homes overseas, while state insurers are also investigating whether they can care for their clients abroad. Experts describe a time bomb of increasing numbers unable to afford the growing cost of retirement homes. On and on it goes. Quotes some elderly people wishing that they could come back home with their friends and family members, but there they are stuck in Hungary or stuck in Taiwan or Vietnam or wherever. But Kevin, they can get some kind of cheap little hut made out of straw, you know, for their retirement years.
This shows the roadmap to fiscal responsibility in our country. You know, for decades, elderly have migrated to Florida to spend their retirement years. Uh-huh. Well, all we have to do is put them on a boat from Florida, from Miami specifically, mm-hmm. to Cuba.
Cuba.
Because okay. Cuba,
now you're onto something.
Cuba uh-huh. has this wonderful healthcare system. I've heard all about it. Mm-hmm. It's great. Yeah. We would not have to care for them ourselves. Mm-hmm. Instead of Cuba, people from Cuba coming to Florida, we'd be sending people from Florida to Cuba. And so we'd return the favor. It could work out good for everybody.
Okay, I get it. And it'd be the people who voted for socialism in America, and we just give it to them.
Right. I'm sure.
You want socialism?
The Che Guevara Hospital care center would be great.
Sure. Yeah. You know, Dave, this is the future of this country. I mean, you really think, Dave, we're going to have all the money in the world to take care of 80 million retiring baby boomers between now and 2040?
who stole their grandchildren's wealth and who aborted their babies.
Who aborted 80 million babies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So those who would be taking care of them are either dead or in debt. So yeah, you think there's going to be a lot of love in the room?
Yeah, not a lot of love in the room. Nope. Not for old Grammy and Grampy. And Dave, this is where we're headed. I think this is this dystopia that we get out of socialism. People have this idea, Dave, that somehow socialism is going to be a really, really good deal in the long run.
No, in the long run, we're all dead. Wasn't that the answer?
Well, that was Keynes, yeah. But in the long run, Dave, you know that this socialist system is not going to work out very well for a lot of folks.
Again, you can't violate the basic laws that the universe works on. Some of them are economic. If you subsidize people not to work, they won't work. If I were to go up to the average guy on the street and say, I'm going to pay you $50,000 if you won't work, he's going to take that in a heartbeat. He loved the $50,000 to not to work. He may have had a job that paid $150,000, but he had to work at that job. He'll take the $50,000 not to work. When you subsidize behaviors, you get more of them. When you punish behaviors, you get less of them. That's a fact. It's a law of life. And when you tax achievement, you get less achievement. And when you subsidize fatherlessness, you get fatherlessness. And when you've taken the wealth of a generation, they're not going to give it back because they don't have it.
And Dave, at some point, fiscal sense does set in. And when someone is sitting there looking at somebody who's going to cost them $120,000 to keep them alive in America, they might think, hey, $10,000, I can ship this guy off to Hungary, or for $100.
Yeah. Cuba,
I'm sorry. Or for $100, euthanasia. I mean, that's cheaper than the $10,000, you know?
Let's just say, Kevin, on that boat to Cuba, uh-huh. the deck is slippery.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And old people are not stable, and some may not make it.
Slip off.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be euthanasia. Boat.
Okay, friends, this is the socialist dream, the socialist dream of those who vote for Barack Obama. But these aren't true solutions. And everybody knows these aren't true solutions. That's why you get off this boat. You get off the boat. I mean, why in the world should some German elderly person have to be shipped off to Vietnam away from his family and friends? And the answer may be that he doesn't have any family and friends. And so that's why we have this radio show, because we really believe that the modern socialist dystopian world is a world without God's truth and without relationships. I mean, it wants to redistribute wealth, but it wants to redistribute wealth because there are no relationships. People are broken down. They don't have decent families. Dave, I mean, you know, my kid's not going to be shipping me off to Vietnam. Live in the basement, you know? I mean... That's crazy. I mean, you know, I'm already passing my inheritance on to my children. I wrote some more checks yesterday. If I remember, as I was writing these checks, I mean, I try to write the checks at the end of the year. So at the very, very end of the year, we write the checks and or we transfer. I think we did a transfer, just a bank transfer. It's real simple. Then I talked to Emily and Rebecca, and I said, "Hans, you know, we're passing on an inheritance to you because number one, we think Barack Obama is probably going to do everything they can to tax inheritance and to euthanize us anyway, because that's the socialist way of doing things." And so because we don't really like Barack Obama's socialist plan, because a good man leaves inheritance for his children's children, we're getting ahead of this and using the gift tax exemption stuff to get you some of this money. We're moving this all into your accounts so that eventually, you know, we're not going to have a lot of money because we love you and we want you to actually have a good start into your own families. But you do have to love us. That's kind of a biblical thing there. And so, you know, and they do love us. You know, it's a hug time, you know, hug. Right. We love our kids and they love us and they fight over who gets to have mom and dad, you know. So I think the way we've worked it out is actually we're going to be living, you know, for X number of months over here and the X number of months over here with this child and then with this child and then with that child. And so, you know, we're going to work it out. It's going to work out. You know, there's going to be a family fight over who gets mom and dad. But we you know, it's just a different world. I mean, I don't live in this German dystopia where the government's supposed to take care of you. If they don't have enough money, they ship you off to Vietnam. That's not what we do. That's not. See, we live in a different world, Dave. And this is not our world. We don't live in Barack Obama's world. We live in our world with a biblical conception of family. And, you know, he doesn't have a biblical conception of family. So, of course, he's going to tax the living daylights out of inheritance. But, you know, I've got a family and I like my family and we have really good family relationships in our family.
Yeah, Barack Obama doesn't have a father. Turns out to be one of those guys. And so he doesn't really understand the whole idea. Look, if you don't want your children to get you the Rosetta Stone, learn Spanish in 3 weeks and the one-way ticket to Cuba, what you need to do right now is you need to take care of your elderly parents. You start by taking them into your home. You start caring for your parents so that they don't get on that one-way boat. Your children aren't going to want to take care of you if you didn't take care of their grandparents. And you gotta solidify the generations.
Yeah.
You gotta have a unity.
There's gotta have some love for the elderly, some love for grandma and grandpa. You know, Carmen was on our show a couple, 3-4 days ago talking about looking out for the elderly in some of these elderly homes, care centers around our neighborhoods. And I really recommend that our families do that. And certainly we need to reach out to our elderly grandparents as well. And Dave, you know what? This concept of socialism ought to be so far from the average Christian's conception. And here's the other thing. What if you have an elderly person who doesn't have any family members? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't get married. Maybe, you know, whatever. Maybe they were abandoned by their children. I mean, maybe their children were a bunch of
maybe they were married and God didn't open the womb.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. And so here we are in the year, you know, 2027, and they're 82 years old, and the government doesn't have enough money to care for them. They want to euthanize them. So what does the church do? See, again, the church has to step up here, Dave. And I know we've talked about this before, but we've got to. Right now, the church has to engage the diaconate. And we have to say, and I have said this before, and I will continue to say it, if somebody in our church isn't cared for, some widow in our church is not cared for, and she doesn't want to go onto the Social Security program or the welfare programs or the Medicare programs or the euthanasia programs offered by your friendly socialist government, and she wants to be cared for by the church, I'm there. I'm there. I've signed up for it. You just show me where to sign up. I'll sign up for it. And we'll live in community and we will provide for her needs. And hopefully there will be a trusting, loving relationship that develops where charity is no longer a triplicate filled out by some bureaucrat on the 27th floor of some building in New York City. But charity is what charity really ought to be. And that is the heart of somebody caring for somebody else. And it's local, it's relational, it's accountable, and it is voluntary. That, my friends, is a biblical form of charity, and we're going to throw away the welfare form of redistributing the wealth. That's a pseudo-charity system that has only corrupted relationships and corrupted families all across America who have been forced to engage in breaking the Eighth Commandment with Karl Marx and all his cronies.
And Kevin, if you want to avoid that slow train to Cuba or that slow boat, you know, there's several things. One is take care of your own parents and have some solidarity between the generations. Yeah. The other is to invest in your children and tell them about how you're passing inheritance to their children, your grandchildren. But also, don't become a liability. In other words, work as long as you can. Don't idea of retirement is not from the Bible. This idea of retirement is
ridiculous.
Another silly thing. You be productive. Be working. The Dominion mandate doesn't say until you're 65, take Dominion.
Seems to me 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord thy God. I'm thinking, you know, biblical ethics here. It seems to me that God wants us working. Okay, so Grandpa can't work, you know, 16-hour days like he could when he was 24 years old. We understand that.
Yeah, he needs more naps.
He needs more naps, yeah. And I already need more naps. You know, but I still work 6 days. You know, I'm working.
Right.
I'm working.
And occasionally, I have collapse, the same job. Maybe he's no longer working the cement truck, but he can work. He's got knowledge. He's got other things that he can impart. It does several things. One is it keeps the body and the mind sharp.
Yeah.
It keeps him productive. Instead of being a drain to the family economy, he can be an asset to the family economy. So stay productive as long as you can. Keep taking dominion all the way to the end. If all you can do is crossword puzzles, then make crossword puzzles up. Something.
Sure.
Do something productive. Help in the homeschool. You know, grandma and grandpa in the homeschool would be in a tremendous addition.
Huge help. My mom's been helping us. She's 77 years old. She's been helping us for the last 15 years. I mean, since retirement, you know, whatever that was.
Which is interesting.
But she's been helping us.
Lessons on the phone. Yeah.
Piano lessons on the phone. Right. From 2,000 miles away. She has taught four of my daughters how to play the piano. And some of them are so good. I mean, they are good. They can do accompaniment at church. And she says some of the best students she's done is my daughters, who she's taught over the phone lines from 2,000 miles away for the last 10 or 12 years. Anyway, my friends, wow. You know, Dave, what's funny is as we talk about this kind of stuff, the solutions are so obvious. You know, it just, duh. This is like the duh program.
The old paths?
This is duh. I mean, this. You know, we talk about all these problems in Washington, D.C., and these problems in Germany where they're having to ship off their elderly because they can't afford them. Dave, I mean, that's silliness. The socialist system is just silly. And why can't people just go back to some of these old forms, these biblical forms, and just say, you know, I think God had it right. It seems so simple, doesn't it, as we talk about it, it just seems so simple.
They have to let go of the free goodies. I'm told that there's a particular monkey in South America that when they want to capture it for the zoos, they put a fruit inside this tree that has a knot hole about the size, just a little smaller than the monkey's fist, and the monkey will reach in to grab this fruit, and the monkey is stuck. Now, if the monkey let go of the fruit, his hand would come out easily, but the monkey will not let go of the fruit, and they're able to just go like throw a net over this monkey, come back a day later and throw a net over him. And that's how we are with our socialism. We won't let go of our little socialist candy in order to receive the blessings of liberty, to be free and not be put in this little zoo. And that's the problem.
That's a beautiful illustration. I love it. Beautiful illustration. All right. Kevin Swanson, Dave Buhner, been in studio today with you on the Generations Radio broadcast. If you'd like to interact with the program, we have a toll-free number you can call now, 877-520-9510. That's 877-520-9510. We'd sure like to interact with whatever you have to offer at our toll-free number, 877-520-9510. And friends, if you would really like to root and ground your children in the right perspectives concerning just about everything, grab a copy of our book, What Does the Bible Say About That? For your children, and it's written for 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds, and it's a very, very simple introduction to a biblical worldview, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Would encourage you to grab a copy of that for your children, or even for yourselves. I mean, it's pretty basic. It's to the real basics, and a lot of folks do not have the basics down. So grab a copy of our book, What Does the Bible Say About That? From our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.